World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from Winnipeg, Canada, here's Leon Fontaine.
I want to teach you how to dream. How to dream. A friend of mine bought a book a while ago, and man, I want to find it. It was just called, I think it was the 100 Greatest Speeches in the World. And one of them, of course, was Martin Luther King Jr. I have a dream. I mean, when you read that and you listen to his voice on tape just talk, it just touches you so deep. I have a dream. Did you know that you're supposed to have a dream? Your life will not go the way you want it unless you have a dream and you know how to dream. You see, your enemy has a dream for you. It says in Mark, well, actually, it says all through the Word. Jesus says, but the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his dream for you. You have an enemy. His dream is to kill you. His dream is to destroy your marriage, your kids, your lineage, your generations. His desire is to steal your reputation, to steal what's important to you. It's to destroy your trust in the Most High God. To not walk the paths he's prepared for you ahead of time. You have an enemy, and he's got a dream for you. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is David and Goliath. Do you know I've been preaching on that now for probably 40 years, and I keep seeing something new all the time? Goliath had a dream. Now, he didn't say it that way. I have a dream. But he did declare his dream. Send out a champion to fight me because I'm going to whip him, and then you're going to serve us, which meant we're going to kill the men, we're going to rape the wives, and we're going to make all of your children become servants and slaves. That was his dream. And that evil dream was coming from his country, that culture. This is what's going to happen. Goliath had a dream. Now, what's interesting is in this story, the Philistines came out every day, and they would stand on this hill, overlooking the valley of Elah. And on the other side, God's army, or the Israelite army, would walk out because the Philistines were coming to take their country. Steal it, fight for it. And in doing that, they had this new kind of strategy. Rather than go and fight and lose half our army trying to get it, let's send our favorite guy out there. Let's send Goliath, biggest, toughest, meanest. He was over 9 feet tall. His lungs would have been twice the size of mine. And, you know, the bigger something has for a chest, the more that voice can just carry a war. And so Goliath would come out, and he'd begin to scream at them. He would take center stage. All of his soldiers were watching him, and all of the Israeli army were watching. And he'd get out there, and he'd say, "Send a man to fight me." And he would do this during the day, not just once. We know at least twice and probably more, depending upon what was going on. He would come out to the center stage of this valley of Elah, and he would scream his dream. He did it the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, the seventh day, the second week, the third week, the fourth week, the fifth week, the sixth week, the seventh. This guy would get out there and blah, blah, blah. Do you know what's crazy? They listened to him. they listened to him. An entire Israeli army just stood there. Benjamin, did you hear what he said? He said he's going to kill us. Did you hear that, Reuben? Yeah. Well, you know what? And they began to share his dream with each other. Goliath had a dream. It was a sick dream. It was an evil dream. It was a dream that was his arrogance. It was all about him being king, him rising up, him making everybody else kowtow. It was about making the money off of their country. It was nothing but personal grandizement and narcissistic, egotistic. I mean, it was just all that. And he'd get out there every day. Now, Goliath was so tall, over 9 feet tall. Some stats say 11 feet tall. So this Goliath would come out every day, and he would share his dream. So, Leon, that's not really a dream. No, listen to me, because as he shared his dream, he began to speak the language of the heart, which is images, video, which is pictures, and all the opposing army began to see themselves killed. He would use language like feed their bodies to the birds. Now, he wasn't talking about chickadees. He's talking about vultures. For some of you that come from countries where there are vultures, it's sick to watch them take out a body. I mean, it's the battlefield is a disgusting place when the body. He was painting pictures of killing them, stealing them. And they just sat there day after day and listened to his dream. There's the dream that faith builds, and there's the dream that fear builds. The fastest way to control any group of people is to pound fear into them. It's the quickest way. Because then once you pound fear into them and you get it past fear till it becomes phobia, then you can get them to do anything quickly. But this little guy named David, now he wasn't little, but he was young. He just hadn't been listening to this. So he comes to bring food to his brothers. And he's probably in his late teens. And he just happens to be there when Goliath walks out. And he goes, and he looks around, and knees are knocking. Teeth are chattering. And they have this look on their face. Did you hear that? He's not just going to stab us once. He's going to stab us twice. I mean, dead's dead. I mean, don't just stab me after that. I mean, whatever was going on. And so David's looking around. He sees his oldest brother and his second oldest brother. He admires these men are warfare. They're trained in war. And he looks around, and he can't understand what's going on. Why? Because he's not pickled. Because he goes, what in the world? His brother has a talk with him. You arrogant little thing. Who do you think you are? Well, you have an answer, do you? He gave him that speech. Why? Because fearful people get mad when someone stands against their fear. So David begins to talk back. And Goliath, he begins to curse him with his God. Said he got, when he saw David come up, he got upset because he was having a good time. 40 days of being the man. Walk on the stage, you know, got all your equipment, boom, boom, boom. He was the star. He was the leader. Everyone's listening to him. Except he was wrong. So David comes towards him, reaches down, picks up 5 stones, puts them in his little pouch. Someone said to me one time, David must have been worried about missing because he picked up 5 stones. If you go into 2 Samuel, did you know that Goliath had 4 sons who were all battle-trained warriors as well? And that his men or he took them all out, and it mentions them by name, taking them out. David didn't just kill giants, he raised up giant killers. So he put 5 in because there was Goliath and 4 more giants back there. He planned on taking them all out. Well, Leon, you don't know that for sure. No, I don't, but then why didn't he pick up 6 stones? 3 stones. So David begins to move towards him, which irritates him because he's lost his star position of leadership, and it's crazy how many leaders get intoxicated with power. And he begins to curse him, and David looks at him, and he says to him this, I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, and I'm taking your head off. And then angels jumped down and shot him forward, and lightning came out of the sky and destroyed his sword. No, I was just making that part up. No, he simply did what he did every day. He threw rocks and he aimed it at trees, and he had a slingshot. Pulls a slingshot out, puts one rock in, runs at Goliath. Bam, straight into his forehead, down he goes. We can't really see anything miraculous here, but it is supernatural because of this stunning courage, the stunning faith, words that take on that dream straight on and refuses. And he's not going to argue with Goliath. He has a better dream. He doesn't go, no, you're not. No, I disagree. No way. No, he listens to him talk, and he just declares his dream, that his God would win.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Does God allow bad things to happen in our lives? If God is all-powerful, does that mean he allows painful things to happen to us? And if so, how can we possibly understand some of the terrible things that happen around us? In this three-part series by Leon Fontaine, Fortify Your Faith, you will learn the answers to these controversial questions.
I'd love to send you this series, Fortify Your Faith. I have noticed so many believers who lose out in this area of faith because they don't understand why bad things happen on this planet. And they get all caught up in doctrinal things that destroy their ability to believe for miracles. You need to get this, how to fortify your faith.
You'll discover that the key to understanding the truth about why bad things happen lies with understanding the difference between power and authority. Get your copy of Fortify Your Faith today.
Nobody had a different dream than Goliath's. And if God wouldn't have raised up a David, then the dream that giant, evil, weird, Philistine, dominating, controlling, gonna get what was good for him, what he wanted, he'd have gotten it. There was no one else speaking a dream. God took Ezekiel the prophet into a valley of dry bones. And this is a very sad sight. It's an army that's dead. The vultures have picked them clean. The bones aren't even touching each other. God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, you know, God, you can do anything. It kind of reminds you of the guy with one talent that buried it and said, well, I knew you could do whatever you want, so I'm just going to keep it for you. God called him lazy, by the way, and took it away from him, gave it to the guy with 10. And he says, Ezekiel, you speak to it. And he even tells him what to say. It was very deep. So Ezekiel spoke to the bones and said, come together. And the ankle bones and the shin bones and the funny bones and whatever the bones all came together, each in their place. And it would sound like this cacophony of noise all through this valley as bones began to find their spot and the skeletons came together. And then he said, speak muscles and sinews on the bones. And he did. He spoke out loud, muscles, sinews, come onto those bones. And the muscles and sinews came onto the bones. But there's no life. Now speak life. If you and I, as human beings on this planet, do not speak the dreams, the desires that God's word has given us, then all it is potential. I like potential. But potential without action, potential without a dream, potential without speaking it is actually nothing. And so you must speak. You must prophesy what it is you want in your future. That's how you pray. You pray by prophesying the word. The word says, I walk in the protection and the blessing of God. The word says that no sickness and no disease, that no evil thing can harm me or hurt me. With long life, he's going to satisfy me. He says my kids are going to know peace and prosperity and blessing. He says that when I travel, I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. He says... Now, if you don't speak the word, then you're accepting somebody else's dream. I wonder who it is. A dream will not come to pass till it is spoken out loud. The Bible says life and death of a dream are in the power of tongue. The Bible says the words that we speak don't come back void. They accomplish what they are sent forth to do. So when you begin to declare, this is what the word says, others are inspired. David inspired an Israeli army that were so afraid, they were peeing their pants. They were so afraid, they got mad. He had courage. Isn't it interesting when people are angry because someone's got courage just to say, let's build a better life. Let's find a way for all of us to rise up and do something. And people get mad. But when he ran at that giant, something happened in the hearts of tens of thousands of soldiers watching. And as they got reminded, are you a man or a mouse? Are you going to stand up? And when that teenage boy began to declare the goodness and the preeminence of God and that he had a covenant with God and that God would see, and he began to say it and speak it and do it, an entire army came to life and pushed out that enemy. And I've got news for you. I have a dream. You have a dream, and maybe you need to be reminded of it. That dream is beautiful. It's profound. It's kids that laugh and love, families that prosper and are blessed, great educations for great careers, a God that we can love and serve and know that when we die, heaven is a reality, and we can know him personally as we walk this planet, friendships across the nations and helping those who are marginalized, reaching out to those, you know. A lot of people think, well, Leon, the church should just help the down and out. That's not what Jesus said. He said, I pray that you bear fruit and that your fruit drift away. No, that your fruit would remain. The product of your life, a marriage, should grow better. The product of your life, your business, should get better. The product of people coming together to raise up a nation that's not perfect. David was not a perfect man. If you know the whole story of David, you'll find out. But did you know he's called a man after God's own heart? So messed up, sinful, made a lot of messes. But he had a courage that he just refused to be counted out. He just refused to be silent. And my challenge to you, pray the word of God. And secondly, from the concourses of your cities and towns, the hallways of your jobs, where you buy, as people speak, speak with wisdom, but speak up. Speak truth. Don't allow yourself to be silenced. To be silenced means that our whole way of life is being challenged. We must speak up. This is a free country. And if you're worried about someone talking about you, if you're worried about someone blogging about you, if you're worried about people, you know, calling you down by the tens of thousands and hundreds, welcome to my life. It hasn't changed anything anyway. So I kind of go, big deal. Stop being afraid. And let's rise up and let's share. Let's just share this. Now, there's two things I'm talking about. Let's continue to share this beautiful Jesus to people who are on their last nerve, who just need a friend. And let's speak up in the concourses of power as well and democracy and all the rest. Because ahead of us is going to be the greatest years we've ever seen. The greatest years for the church is still ahead. Jesus didn't go that I will build my church and the gates of hell won't won't prevail against it. Just joking. He didn't say, go into the world and preach the gospel. No one will join, but have a go. No. He said, the light's going to grow brighter and brighter until that perfect day. He said that we would make the enemy our footstool, that we would be able to help bring Jesus to a world who needs a spiritual life before they even figure out their physical life. They need a spiritual relationship before they'll ever figure out their physical relationships. That's where the Church of Jesus Christ is. We love people. We care and say, I love the fact you're different. I love the fact that when we have a good conversation, there's a little bit of conflict there. That's where great ideas come from. You and I could have been born to some camel herder 3,000 years ago on the backside of the desert, but here you are today. You're here in the most important time of history. For every generation, God has men and women who will be counted. In the last 2,000 years, from monks laboriously copying the scriptures in caves and on islands as soldiers sought them out to kill and destroy God's word, they continued. Behind cities with the enemy all around as they would hide Bibles and the written word of God because they would burn them when they found them. Men and women stood for righteousness and for Jesus Christ. In this world where our great grandparents fought for the rights that we have, I'm not going to let them just slip away. We're going to speak up. We're going to pray. We're going to get involved. And as we do, you're going to be surprised how little it takes. David didn't have to go, well, we're going to take a month and go learn how to do spear throwing because I got to throw against the best spear thrower in the Philistine army. He didn't say, I need to go get a whole bunch of sword lessons because his sword is the length of my entire body. I'm going to have to learn some new sword techniques. No, he just used what was in his hand, a slingshot and a stone. All you need to do, be who you is. Use the mouth God gave you. Speak up with wisdom, with love. Value every person. Don't get into anger and treat people like the enemy. Our war is not with flesh and blood. Behind it is something else. So we treat people with wisdom. We treat people with love, which means we value them when they disagree with us. And this is what the church's stance has always been. Let's laugh. Let's love. I don't know what you used to do for fun, but maybe crank it back up. Father, I thank you today for your presence. I thank you for all of those joining us today here in our auditorium and around the world. I just pray that we, the church, would rise up valuing the people we're to reach, strengthening the cities, the countries. Father, I pray that we would not lose our hope because the greatest days are still ahead. It's in uncertain times that you've always shown yourself even stronger for people who would believe. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for wisdom and that you're raising up every person here in their own unique individual ways with the gifts and abilities you've given them. And to whom much is given, much is required. Walk with us, guide us, and we know you will as we see our nation and our world through just another crisis into the clarity of a new day. Because Jesus is Lord.
I hope that as you hear God's word, something on the inside of you begins to grow and be strong. When you hear the word of God, it should never make you fearful. God's word and his spirit will never make you worried or anxious. If you read or hear a preacher that it causes anxiety and fear and worry, it's the wrong spirit. Even if he's quoting and reading the word, his doctrine might even be okay, but it's the spirit that is behind it. The Bible says we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. And as you continue to find the messages that we are teaching here and all the teachings, I want you to know, let the Word of God come in and renew your mind. And then as your mind begins to focus on the principles of God's Word, who you are, who Jesus is, who God is, who the devil is, and then what you can do, what your legal rights are. Does it mean when you are in Christ, you are in him? That's your legal rights. But then Christ is in you. Not only now it's not just the legal rights, it's the abilities that you have. And this is the beauty of when you begin to know the new covenant. You'd better understand that it is all anchored around this teaching of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. As you hear his word, it's going to change you. And you're going to realize that not only is there a legal side to my following Christ, there's legal authority I now have, but also Christ is in me, which means there's an authority, that there's a power that flows out of me. I pray that you'll keep following and learning and growing. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, pray this powerful prayer that only you can pray for yourself right now. It goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I choose to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I choose to make you my Lord, my Savior. Come into my heart, my life. From today and on, I'm following you. Teach me your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. You just started the most exciting journey. Keep following the program.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media